it's good to know that you've got so much to chat about. I've just been asked, where is my tracksuit? I'm an armchair Olympian. If you'd have been at holiday at home, you'll know what that is. Anybody here who was at holiday at home this week? Oh, good. Oh dear, right. I'm going to tell a few secrets. We did do some of the exercises as we seated, and it was great. It was exhausting, but it was fun until the very end, and the lady said, we're going to finish with a Mexican wave. Now, if I said that to you, what would happen? You'd start, yes, all right. Holiday at home? Let's do a Mexican wave. We'll start here. And they waved to one another all the way round. Yeah, we had great fun. Anyway, the Olympics have begun. Did you watch the opening ceremony? I have to say, I sort of was going round the other channels because there were moments when I thought, oh no, I can't watch any more of this. But it was fantastic. A lot of it was really, really good. And so now the Olympics have started, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be witnesses to the fruits of all that dedication and passion and discipline. And we're going to watch the hard work of people being tested and celebrated. And we're going to weep with some, and we're going to be really cheering on with others. And I would imagine that every athlete that is entered into these Olympics has, over the years, developed quite a strict regime for their health and fitness. You don't just sort of get up one morning and think, I'm going to be an Olympian, without then putting in some hard work. And their regime, the different regimes, will suit the sports that people are involved in. So we at Maybridge are going to take a leaf out of their book, and we're going to spend this summer looking at what it might take for us to be fit for life, fit for the kingdom life. We'll be looking into the letter of James, and we're going to discover here what there is that can equip us to be effective in our life as disciples of Christ. And last week, Steve Clayton brought us the first lesson, and that was building strength, and it was about perseverance under trial. And this week, we're in the first few verses of chapter 2 of James, learning to love. James begins this chapter with a direct challenge to believers, and see if I can get them. And we're going to read this together. This is from James chapter 2. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? I want to tell you a story, and it comes from the autobiography of Mahatma Gandhi. There he is. Just in case you can't remember, Bald Man Nappy. There you go. This is from his autobiography. And he wrote that during his student days, he read the Gospels seriously, and he considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in the teachings of Jesus, he could find the solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India. So one Sunday, he decided to attend services at a nearby church and talk to the minister about becoming a Christian. When he entered the sanctuary, however, The usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. If Christians have caste differences also, he said, I might as well remain a Hindu. Of course, that would never happen at Maybridge Community Church. Our welcome team are well trained. But maybe not to that extent would something happen, but maybe in different ways. We do show prejudice or favoritism, partiality to people, and we're going to be thinking about that and allowing God to, by His Spirit, to prompt us where that might happen in our own lives. But after this opening challenge, James in verse 8 highlights a teaching point that I want to focus on this morning. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. When Jesus was asked which of the commandments were the most important, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. So this is a key teaching. And if we want to be fit for life, this is a quality that God wants us to have. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to take us back to something that James actually said in chapter 1. And because I think that these words are quite pivotal to how we approach much of what James teaches. James is very practical in what he writes. And in chapter 1, in verse 18, he gives us a clue as to why and how we can live life as God created us to have. And James says, love your neighbor. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This means that through the good news of Jesus, the living word, all that Jesus is, all that Jesus has achieved for us, there is this hope, this possibility for us to be fit for life, to be a holy people, the best people that we can be for him. In this verse, James gives us the reason for hope. Because if we aspire to be fit for life, we have to believe that it's possible. I don't know how many fitness regimes you've ever started and then given up on, or how many New Year's resolutions that you've forgotten by January the 31st. Is there January the 31st? Who's ever made a New Year's resolution and said, nah, and you've forgotten it? How many of you signed up for a gym and then let your membership lapse? We start things and we just sort of, I can't continue. These verses, I believe, give us that hope for continuing in this regime of being fit for life. And it starts with this. He chose to give us birth. He chose to give us birth. This is not about a physical birth. This is about a spiritual birth and spiritual life. So why is this connected with love your neighbor as yourself? Because he chose to give us birth says so much about who we are and our relationship with God. And until we've got rooted deep in us who we are and how much we are loved, we will stumble in our attempts to love others. Now, I don't know if you came to God's space at Christmas time. How many of you managed to get to God's space that was And we had, there was different places to pray, but we had Steve Carroll painting a picture. Can you remember it? Hopefully. There. Sort of, best I can do. Now, I watched this painting emerge from the canvas, and Steve was there. It was out on the floor, and he was moving around, putting bits of paint here and there, and at one point, I thought it was finished. It was certainly very good. But then Steve carried on painting. He was adding darker paint and then highlights, and I thought he was going to ruin it. but he's the artist, and I'm not. Steve knew exactly what he was doing. And when he stepped back and he wrote those words underneath it, I had this sort of revelation. I just sat there and thought, wow, God poured himself into human form. And we call him Jesus, Son of God. And it just spoke to me. And then this second thought came into my head. God continues to pour himself into men and women and children by his Spirit, transforming us from very good to something special. And we are called sons of God. Precious, loved sons of God. Paul says that you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, sons of God. Ladies, I have no problem saying that I am son of God, one of the sons of God. It's about inheritance. It's not about gender. And Holy Spirit draws us into a knowledge of this intimate relationship with God as Abba, Father, a place where we are loved and accepted. He chose to give us birth. I don't always feel lovable. A few weeks ago, I was working in the hospital. I work as a chaplain at the hospital, and I was asked to go and pray with a gentleman who was dying. And he was very weak and frail, looked very small in big hospital bed, and he actually was quite anxious about who was going to look after his wife when he died. And I sat there with him for a little while, and I held his hand, and I read scripture, and I prayed, and he had his eyes closed for most of the time. But then as I finished praying, he opened his eyes, and he looked at me, and he said, "You are beautiful." And I was crumbling, because I don't feel beautiful. A lot of the time, I do not feel beautiful. I thought, oh no, if only you knew me. If you knew what I was really like, you wouldn't say that. Because like Paul in his letter to Rome, where he writes, "What I do is not the good I want to do. And the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing." There is this battle going on inside of me. And often I feel wretched because I don't feel beautiful. But the truth of the matter is that he chose to give me birth. Go back to that one. He chose to pour himself into me by his Spirit, to draw me into an intimate relationship with him, by which I can know myself to be loved and accepted. And that is true for you. This is not just a me truth. This is true for each and every one of us here. God has poured himself into us because he chose to give us birth. Sometimes we fear that loving ourselves is self-indulgence. It is not. It is simply agreeing with God. God says that you are loved and that you are lovable. You see, I liken this truth to an athlete getting into the blocks. Because starting blocks, I guess when you first start to use them, feel quite strange, awkward. Maybe even you think it slows you down because, you know, when you start running, you've got this something that's unfamiliar with you. But once you become familiar with using starting blocks, they become a strength. You put your weight into it. You push against them to give momentum and power to your movement forward. When you run a race, when you get into starting blocks, you feel the strength behind you. And then when you're ready, you look up. You see, loving yourself is about settling back into that truth that he chose to give us birth, feeling its strength behind you, and when you're ready, looking up. This is what it is to be fit for life. Not about being self-indulgent or looking into yourself all the time, but knowing who you are in Christ through God's choice to give us birth. And then looking up and seeing others as God sees us, loving others as God loves us, and moving forward in the power of that love, loving where love is not, showing mercy where mercy has not yet been shown from one to one. Giving generous compassion and kindness where there is need for generous compassion and kindness. That's being fit for life. Getting into the starting blocks and then looking up. And moving off with power. Now, if we can do that individually, just imagine what transformation can take place in this community if we do it together. That we have a deep understanding that God chose to give us birth. He says you are loved and you are lovable. Get that beneath our feet, and then look up and move forward. I want to give you a challenge because it's Olympic week, and we know that all those Olympians have been doing exercises and doing stuff. So here's a challenge, a bit like Mission Impossible, but this one is possible-ish. So the challenge, if you choose to accept it, is this. I want every day this week for you to go for a walk. And if you can't go for a walk, sit purposefully in a chair and beat out a sort of walking pace. And as you're walking, I want you to think, God chose to give us birth. God chose to give us birth. God chose to give us birth. Whatever your pace for walking is, each athlete trains in a way appropriate to themselves. So take your pace and walk it. But don't just keep going. I want you to, as you're going that, God chose to give us birth. He chose to give us birth. I want you to put the emphasis on a different word from time to time. So, he chose to give us birth. 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 And just keep your pace going, but put the emphasis on different words. And whilst you're doing that, think about what those words mean. He chose to give us birth. God, the Almighty One, the Powerful One, the Creator, the Holy One. He chose to give us birth. He chose. This was His own free will. This was His decision. He chose to give us, you, me, neither Jew nor Greek, male, female, rich, poor, black, white, young, old. He chose to give us birth. And birth is life, spiritual life, a fresh start, a new creation. And when you've done that for a couple of minutes and you've paced that out, I want you to stop and breathe. Breathe deeply. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And remember the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. For this is getting fit for life. Because it's what God has poured into us. We then overflow towards others. We set back into those racing blocks and move forward, looking out, looking at others. So who are you going to be meeting this week? What engagements have you got planned? And when you look at people, see them as God sees them. Sees them as God sees you. One on whom He is merciful and compassionate and generous and kind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit that we might know ourselves to be loved and to be lovable. Place these truths beneath our feet and give us the courage to look up and see others as you see us. Give us the courage and the power to show compassion in the way that you have shown compassion to us. And may we see ourselves and our communities transformed by the power of your love.